You're listening to the IFL TV podcast in association with Lonsdale MTK Global, sponsored by William Hill.
Razovan, if IFL TV in association with MTK Global, with me on this quite gloomy Sunday afternoon, Mr. Dave Cowell. Dave, how are we?
All right, thanks. How are you?
Gloomy as well in Rotherham.
Mate, it's, yeah, gloomy. It's not great. At least it's not as bad as yesterday. Yesterday was absolutely pissing it down all day long.
The beauty of living in the north. Dave, let's jump straight into it. Yesterday, a lot of people said that Dubois had too much power. He was a younger, fresher athlete. But yesterday we saw what an amateur pedigree and just basic boxing skills, such as a good jab, can do for you. Were you surprised with the manner that Joy won the fight?
Yeah, the way that he won it, yes, I was surprised. I wasn't expecting that kind of fight. I thought it was a case of, can Joe get through the first early rounds of, you know, the onslaught? I thought, you know, looking at Joe's career so far, he gets hit with power shots early doors. And I thought, can he get through those moments? And if he does, then I fancied him to, you know, I fancied him later on in the fight. I managed to put quite a decent bet on, and I won some decent money. But for me, it was always a big ask of him getting through those early rounds. And that's why I was kind of sitting on the fence for it. I wasn't really calling out who I thought was going to win, because I thought it could really generally go either way. But the fight, it actually panned out completely different. I expected more of a, you know, more of a brutal sort of fight, in terms of exchanges and wear and tear, you know, a bit of a war of attrition sort of thing. But it wasn't that. It was Joe Joyce boxed really well. He looks really awkward and ungainly, and, you know, on his legs and his balance sort of thing, and the way that he pops that jab out. But he's very, very effective. You know, speaking to people before the fight, the people that sparred with him, things like that, they all say the same thing. He's relentless, we know about that. But they all say that how effective he is at what he does. You know, he's awkward and he lands those shots. And we saw last night that the jab was fantastic. But what I was really impressed with him was keeping his head off centre. And what he did was he took away Dubois' assets. And he took away what Dubois was good at, took away Dubois' power shots. You know, yes, he got caught with a few, but he took away any sort of position that Dubois could get where he could really get, you know, combinations going and let his power tell. And the shots that he did take, he took incredibly well. So it was a different manner of victory that I thought it was going to be, definitely.
We'll come to round 10 in a moment, but up until round 9, how kind of did you have the scorecards?
I thought it was very close. I thought that Joyce was just nicking it, or it could even be level. It was one of those sort of fights up to that point, but I thought Joyce was nicking it. Listen, I wasn't really particularly scoring it as such. I did early doors really, I had the feeling that Joyce was in front. But yeah, close. But there was one of the scorecards, apparently it was 8 rounds to Dubois. It's like, fucking hell. It's like, you know, every fight that we have now, and it doesn't matter if it's a matchroom show, doesn't matter if it's a Warren show, we're getting these scorecards, you know. And that's another case of where the judges need to be brought in. I mean, I don't know who scored it that way, but I mean, just explain. How do you see that? How did you have, Joyce losing 8 rounds out of that? It's incredible, if you ask me.
Round 10 starts quite similar to round 9. And he pops not a big jab, but it's like almost like a faint jab, but lands straight on his eye. And then Dubois takes a knee. Everyone was kind of shocked until they saw the replay on exactly what happened. But what was your instant reaction?
Yeah, it was a shock, wasn't it? You know, you're in a big fight like that, and a fight where, you know, obviously Dubois is the big favourite, and Dubois is the one that's been touted as the next heir apparent sort of thing, and being spoken in the same breath as Usyk and AJ and people like that. So Of course, the ending was a shock. The ending was it was shocking. Yeah.
Did he quit?
Well, there's this stigma attached to the word quit, right? If you look at quit is to give up. Did Dubois give up? Yes. If you give up, you're making a conscious decision to stop and to give up. Did he give up? Yes, he did, because he made a conscious decision. The shot landed. It skipped off. It's not like he didn't put him down. It skipped off, chose to take a knee. So he chose. And then he chose then, the referee counting, he chose to sit on his knees and wait for the count to end. And that's the end of the fight. Now, the problem is we give fighters such a hard time for quitting. But you have to understand that everybody has their own pain threshold. Everybody has a point where that is the max that they can take and they can't go beyond that. And that's, you know, in terms of anything, you know, in terms of absolutely anything, whether it's physical or mental, certain people can take things more than other people can. And Dubois had reached his limit and, you know, he felt that that was it. I think the more telling thing was in the corners before, and he never seemed comfortable. He never seemed as though he was happy about not being the dominant one, about, you know, even in the clinches when Joe was grappling and walking him back and things like that, he looked like a young boy. It looked like a man against a boy in those seconds, those moments. You know, and that's what we get a lot of times when people are used to things their own way, when there's that intimidation factor, you know, and then all of a sudden there's somebody in front of you that's not intimidated, somebody in front of you that's not willing to let you have it your own way, and you're missing your shots and you're feeling your petrol tank run lower and lower and lower, and you're thinking, shit, and he just keeps on doing that same methodical jab, knocking you off balance, taking the sting out of you, stopping you from setting your own attacks up. And a lot was going off there for Dubois to handle, which just showed that experience-wise, he wasn't, you know, he wasn't able to handle it. But the problem is, because we have these factions of where people are, you know, pro-Matchroom, anti-Frank Warren, pro-Frank Warren, anti-Matchroom, it's like the same people that I see there saying, oh, Dubois didn't quit and he did the right thing, blah, 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 the same people that was ripping Kell Brook up against Spence when he chose. Bear in mind, Kell Brook had already done his orbital fracture against Golovkin, so he knew what that pain was like. He understood what that was. He heard his doctor saying to him, it's a good job you stopped then because you could have gone blind. So he made a conscious decision when he felt that same thing in the Spence fights, think, fuck this, my life after boxing is more important. I'm taking a knee, I'm out. That's it, I can't take no more. But he got vilified for it. So fair enough. If that's what you want to do, I'm not saying you should, you shouldn't. But if that's how you're going to do it, then you have to say the same thing about Dubois. You know, you have to say the same thing. But ultimately, these fighters are the ones that are going in there and they're feeling it. They know what their limits are. And the problem is in boxing, fighters carry on with broken hands. Some fighters won't. And they'll sit on the stool and say, I can't go on no more. Pain, that's it. Fighters will go on with cuts or, you know, closed eyes, broken nose. Danny Williams with a fractured, with a dislocated shoulder. You know, Arthur Abrams when his jaw's hanging off and he carried on going. There's a percentage of fighters that will go through whatever it takes. And then there are others that will just get that point and say, I can't go no more. But Roberto Duran quit against Sugar Ray Leonard. Was that because of pain or was that because of mental? What Ray Leonard was doing to him mentally, embarrassing him, making him feel inferior, and he couldn't cope with that, so he quit. Miguel Cotto got absolutely battered with Margarito, and then there came a point in the fight where he thought, I can't do this anymore. I'm out. But does that make those two, you know, does that stop those two fighters from becoming, being legends in the sport? No, it doesn't. You know, everybody has a limit, has a threshold. The problem is, the majority of the best, the absolute elite, they're willing to do something extra to others. And that is what, and so if you're gauging somebody, if you're talking about a Daniel Dubois, let's say, you know, talking about, oh yeah, we'll put him in with Usyk, we'll put him in with AJ, he's ready now, blah, blah, blah. And then he checks out, then it's like, well, that's where you're judging him in respect of those. Do you know what I mean? But like I said, you can't, this thing where people are so anti-promotional, who gives a fuck about it if it's Eddie Hearn or if it's Frank Warren's shows? You know, if you like the fighters, if the fighters are insane, if the fighters are good prospects, it's about the fighters, you know. And what we can't do is that Dubois, I don't know, is he 23, something like that, 23, 24, he's a young kid, isn't he? Whatever he's a young kid, he's a baby. So you have to be honest and say, you know, if you're asking, did he quit? Yes, he did quit. But does that mean that you should vilify him and call him this and call him that and hound him constantly about it and break him mentally? No. But it's a case of where he needs the people around him now and his team, his family, which, you know, they're all boxing people, so here. So he needs everybody around him, because he's a young kid and it's part of his development, to understand how to bring him back from that, to understand how to bring him through from that, you know. And then he's got so much time in front of him to learn. You know, he's 24, 23, whatever he is, and he's got so much time. We talk about heavyweights at 29, 30 years old being young. So this kid's got bags of time, but it's just, he's got the L plates on. He's not ready for the L plates taking off yet. The problem is when we build these fighters up, but it's against people that they're expected to knock out, and it's a case of how many rounds will he get rid of him in, blah, 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 and you know, building in this monster, this indestructible monster. If they're not having problems posed in the fights by people that are actually trying to win, but you judge it, so you expect them to win, they should win, but the guys are trying to win, they're throwing punches back, they're durable or whatever. If they're not being asked questions, then are they really learning? You know, if in sparring, the sparring with people, I haven't got a clue who he sparred or anything like that, but I'm just saying, if in sparring, they're not under pressure, they're not having days where they're getting their arse handed to him in sparring, then they're not learning the other side of the sport, you know? Too many people, I heard, you know, Warren mentioned about how Dubois dropped AJ in sparring, he slipped that in the build-up. Who cares? Sparring is about learning, you know? I've seen plenty of good fighters get, you know, they have some young kid that comes in and does four or five rounds, you know, in the middle of a 12-round spar for the established fighter, and this kid does great. And the kid gets out thinking that he's just handled a kid that's a world champion or a big prospect or whatever. You've got to put things in context, and it's what does the fighter who has the tough end of sparring, what does he take from that, you know? And that's, you have to be put in situations like that. It's part of your development, it's part of your learning, and it's part of what makes you a fighter, a complete fighter down the line. So sparring, it's about learning. It's not about being the top dog all the time. It's not about, you know, bringing guys in that you can look good in and just practice the things that you're good at. It's about, like, getting comfortable in the situation that you're not comfortable at, and, you know, having someone that can exploit your weaknesses so you can work out how to become better and take away those weaknesses from your game. And that's all part of development. And last night is a massive part of Daniel Dubois' development. And it's down to his mentality now, whether he can learn from that and come back from that and become a better fighter. Some fighters can't recover from that. But this is where a lot, and it comes down to fans, comes down to social media, comes down to, you know, other people in boxing. But yeah, it's just because they give AJ or Kel or whoever it might be a kicking because, you know, they didn't like the way that they got beat, they got knocked out, they got stopped or whatever, doesn't mean that it's right that then now we, you know, Team Matchroom start doing the same thing to a kid from Warren Stable, because it's about the development of these fighters. The better and stronger in depth that the British boxing scene is, the better it is for our sport, you know. So I want Dubois to come back, but it was a big learning experience for him last night. And yes, it was a big shock that he actually, you know, that he quit. I was like, wow, I didn't expect that, because you see him as this beast and everything, but then you have to look at the flip side and say, well, okay, it's, you know, it's part of learning and part of development. But there's a lot of fighters out there, and there's a lot of people out there now that will just look at him and say, you quit. Once you quit, the first time you ever quit is the hardest. And that is the toughest thing to do the first time. Once you've done it once, then it's easiest to do when the going gets tough. And let's not forget, this wasn't actually a brutal fight. I think that's what was the big shocker about it for me, was that it wasn't a brutal fight. It wasn't like, you know, like I thought it was going to be, where it was going to be, if Joe got past a few rounds, then Joe's going to start sapping his strength for those big body shots and start grinding you down, and it's a war of attrition. And then he comes to a point where, I'm fucked, I've got nothing left. Then he quits. But it was because it was just kind of like Joe just popping these jabs, and it was a jab that landed, and he thought about it. People saying, oh, he saved himself for another day. No, because in that moment in time, I don't think you're thinking about down the line. It's different when you've had it done before and you know that same feeling, like I said, what Kel was told by his doctor, that's what could have happened if you hadn't quit. So I imagine then maybe it happens again. You do think that, shit, time to check out. But when it's the first time it happens to you, you know, you don't know whether it's an orbital brawn and you broke or whatever. You don't know. You just can't see shit because you're right. You know, and yes, it stings. Yes, it hurts when he's getting hit on it. But he chose to do what he did. But it's about how he comes back from that now. But just going to say, I mean, you know, we're all talking about Dubois again, but all anybody did was talk about Dubois before the fight. I mean, we should be talking about Joe Joyce and what he did. You know, what a great massive win that was for him. You know, I'll be honest with you. Like I said, when the fight was first made, I was quite sure that Joe wasn't going to get out of those first few rounds, because he just gets nailed early doors. And the fights that I've watched in boxing, I thought, you know, I'm a big fan of Dubois. I think he's a really, really good prospect, really, really good fighter. And I thought it was going to get taken out those first few rounds. But as the fight got closer, I'm listening to Sam Jones, his management and people around them. And they all tell me about what, you know, how he's making these little improvements in training. His defense was getting better in training. I'm thinking, oh. And as it got closer, that's when I thought, okay, I saw the odds for Joyce for the later round for 7-12. I thought, fucking hell, well worth it, you know? And so, you know, the belief that Joyce's team had in him was great. You know, it's great to see when you see an underdog that's completely written off as such. And in the pre-fight, they're all talking about the other man's future and not Joyce's future. So it was nice to see. As a neutral, I just wanted to see a good fight, and I got a good fight. But yeah, congratulations to Joyce and his team there.
Absolutely no. We look forward to see if he does get that Usyk fight, because we know he did ask for that fight at the end of the night last night, where he said, Usyk, I'm coming for you, in Usyk's traditional voice.
Yeah, it seems like everyone's doing that voice now, aren't
they? Dave Colwell, IFL TV, thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to the IFL TV podcast, sponsored by William Hill, in association with Lonsdale MTK Global.